Take your Bible. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. We do appreciate the Lord. Amen. I want to begin reading tonight for sake of time at verse 35. Bob says, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the fountains, foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the Tower of Hinnom to the gate of the corner. And a measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill of Gareb, and shall compass about to go off. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields under the brook of Kidron, under the corners of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever." I want to preach tonight, if God will be our help, on an eternal promise. An eternal promise. Amen. We have this in God, and we see that God is faithful to His promises. And He promises here in the book of Jeremiah that Israel will always cease to be. You know, say, "Pastor, well, why is that so important?" Because if Israel could go away, then we could go away also. Amen. Praise God. We're serving the same God that they did. But God says in His omnipotence, He says that that as long as there's day, as long as there's moon and the stars, and as long as there's waves in the oceans, praise God, and we know that ain't going to change because God said so. He said as long as the ordinance is there, as long as God is in control, that the seed of Israel will prosper, amen, for the glory of God. And we thank Him for that. And as we look at it today and we think about what's happening in the world, the devil would like to get rid of all of God's people. Amen. The devil would like to get rid of the little nation of Israel. God, the devil would like to get rid of the church of the living God. He would like to do away with it, get rid of it, ban it, praise God forever. But I'm glad there's a God with an eternal promise. The same God that gives this promise to the nation of Israel is the same God that gave the promise to you and I. Amen. Praise His name. Ain't you glad it's that way? But as we look at this tonight and we see things that's playing out around this world, and we think about the time and the hour that we're living. Now, we're getting ready. The nation of Israel is getting ready to celebrate a special time this coming weekend. And it's not Easter, but it's Purim. Amen. And they're getting ready to celebrate. You say, "Well, preacher, what is that? I've never heard of that." It's when Israel was rescued from the very essence of death. It's when old crazy Haman, amen, would come up. Haman, he would come up and he would make a proclamation to try to have the Jew annihilated, to try to get rid of him. Amen. See, he had a plan to do that. But God says in His plan that things is going to be different. I see God is going to bless and God's going to help. Because if you go back right quick in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 9, He says this. You say, "Well, preacher, you know, God can't bless people that don't want to be blessed. Praise God." Yeah, but God says that there's a come a time when God will get a hold of your attention. He'll make you to see that you need some help. Amen. And our help comes from the Lord. Now, David said that, praise God, Brother Kevin, and I believe it all my heart. That our help comes from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Without Him, you're in this world helpless and hopeless. But in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 9, He says this. He said, "They shall come with weeping and with supplications. Will I lead them, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as the shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Amen. Praise God. He said, God Almighty. He said, they come weeping. They come with a broken and a contrite spirit. They can't come crying out to God. And you know what happens when we do that? You know what's wrong with America today? You know what's wrong with our churches today? You know what? Let's just break it down. You know what's wrong with our families today? We're afraid to come to God with a broken and a contrite heart. We're ashamed to just admit that God loves us and cares for us, praise God, and He wants to help us, and we just don't want to let Him. We're scared to death of what we'll have to give up in this world. Amen, praise God. I'll tell you what I've had to give up in this world don't even compare to what God's given me. Amen, praise God. He's watched over me. He's protected me. He's guided me and led me. He's given me a blessed hope and He's given me a promise. Something's moved into my soul, praise God. That's better than good or glory to God. And it helps me ever step of the way every day.
Amen.
It's encouragement from the Lord. But we see the Bible teaches us, if you go back to the book of Esther and you look at it, wicked Haman had a plan. Amen. His plan, praise God, it was a threat to God's plan, praise God, for humanity. Amen. His threat was a plan to God's humanity, what God had planned for His people. I got to think about this instead. What if Haman had succeeded in the annihilation of the Jew? Hello? You know, the Jew is God's timepiece. Amen. That's how he keeps time. Amen. 1948, praise God, he reinstituted the nation of Israel over to Israel, and time began to kick along again in the plan of God. But what would have happened if he had succeeded in annihilating, destroying all the Jewish people? Have you ever thought about that? Amen. If he had have done that, how could Jesus have come along and fulfilled the promise? He said, what was the promise? The promise was a Savior born to a virgin. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. If Haman had succeeded, I praise God, the Savior would have never been born. You say, well, preacher, God would have used another way. Really? You think? We don't know that. But we know, praise God, that God had a plan from the beginning. He had an eternal promise that He had made to a people. We ought to shout and praise God tonight. Because He got the same eternal promise that we had made by the same eternal God is the same promise to you and me. We have an eternal promise. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we become born again believers, praise God. That promise is yours and mine. Promise, praise God, you can take her to the bank. Make a deposit. It's been made on your account for the glory of God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how do we know? Because God's promises controls events. Amen. The promise of God, the Word of God, the promise of God, it controls events and things that happen. We see things, and I watch all the time the news and the things that's going on over the nation of Israel. And I see how it's playing out. But God's sovereign hand is in it all. Amen. Praise God. His hand is in it. God positions people where He'd have them to be. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. God positions people where it have been. Just like you being here tonight. You're here on purpose. This is where God would have you to be on this Wednesday night, 2024. Amen. It's where God wants you to be. That's where you're at. Praise God. Amen. So God puts people where He wants. He positions you where He wants us. He puts the right people. He puts in the right places for the right time. Amen. Praise God. God, hey, there's no accidents with the Lord. Everything He does with purpose. Amen. You know, we ought to take that example. Do what we do, praise God, with purpose. Look over in the story of Esther. In the story of Esther, we see in the story of Esther, we see a king, Ahasuerus, amen. And he's there and he's a clicking along. Things is happening. Events is taking place. Of course, you know the story of the queen. say some things that take place. Vashti, he gets upset with her, and they banish her from the kingdom. And then, of course, they say, what are we going to do now? They say, well, we've got to find a new queen. And, you know, the whole Paul Harvey version, we see Esther comes up, and she's chosen to be the queen. Amen? God places people, the right people, in the right place at the right time. Amen? Praise God. That's what he does. And little did he know, but praise God, by what was taking place, and while Esther coming in the line here, that his life, the king's life, would be spared. Amen. Because people know people. Praise God. Amen. Ain't you glad for that? Because people know people, praise God, and people in places know people in different places, and that's how it falls together. You know, when I was an assistant engineer at Silver Line Plastic, it was a whole lot of things them and I didn't know nothing about. But I knew a whole lot of people that knew about these things. Amen. It wasn't about being able to know everything, but it's about knowing somebody that knew about that. Amen. So we see as it starts playing in place, and we start seeing that people become the right people start coming to the right place at the right time, and God begins to manifest His magnificence through their lives. Amen. You see the king Artaxerxes, he's preserved alive because of Mordecai. Amen. Because of Mordecai. He's used to protect the king. Didn't even know about it, but he's guarded. Amen. Look at Esther chapter number 4, verse number 14. Amen. Well, he says in chapter 2, verse 21, 22, first. Let's before I'm going to be ahead of myself. Chapter 2, verse 21. It says this about Mordecai. He said, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king at Hersey's. And the thing was known unto Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles of the king. So because somebody was in the right place at the right time, praise God, the right person, the right place at the right time, the king was spared. Amen, praise God. That's the way God works. Amen. And then in verse 4, I started to read while you're going to, in your hearing, Mordecai says this to Esther. Well, in verse 13 says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth, now watch this, whether thou art come to the king, to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. So Mordecai tells Esther, said, praise God, hey, said, this is why you're here. Who knows that this is for the very reason that you're here where you are now is for such a time as this. Amen. You think about us today and the day and the hour we're living in, and things are, it seems like things are spiraling out of control, and they are. They're spiraling out of our control, but it's not to say that they're spiraling out of God's control. God's, listen, youngins, God bless your sweetheart, God is still in control. He's control every life and every situation. He's directing and helping if we'll let Him. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen. God's got a purpose and a plan. We just, I mean, it's a job of a child of God, amen, to become part of God's plan. You know why there's so many miserable people in the world today? We're living outside of God's plan. Amen? We're living outside of His plan. We need to be part of the plan. Praise God. Because the whole world's watching. The whole world sees us. Things around us, praise God, that's transpiring, praise God, the world knows about. Amen. They listen. They know what's happening. They know what's taking place. They may choose to play ignorant. But they realize, amen, that they is something that's bigger than the moment. Amen. There's something that's a whole lot bigger than the moment that we're facing. And it's the heavenly God. So we see that Haman, he come out. And God's done made a promise that as long as God and long as the things of God is still there, that Israel is going to still be there. That he's going to take care. The same for the church today, praise God. As long as God is still in control, as long as there is a God, and my Bible teaches me that he is eternal. That he is forever. He always has been, and he always will be. Amen? So we see the eternal purpose and the promise that he makes. But we see what wicked Haman, he brings this thing out. And and Haman, I've told you before, he is a descendant. He's a descendant of Esau, amen, who sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage, amen, to fill his belly for a physical need, amen. He sold out God, amen, sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. And then we see how he comes along and he never gets, he said he saw it with tears, but praise God, he had done sold himself to the devil and he never could make it right again. He never truly come with a broken and a contrite heart, seeking the God of heaven, praise God, that God might be reconciled to the Lord. Amen. We see the same example in Cain and Abel. Amen. Abel came with the right sacrifice, and Cain came with the sacrifice made with his hands. And God speaks to him, and he said, hey, listen, paraphrasing, he said, all you got to do is do that's right, and you'll be accepted. Amen. But he's like most of the people in the world. We'd rather live wrong than do right. And it's never wrong to do right, and it's time to do right now. In the day and hour that we live, praise God, it's time to line up with the Word of God circumspectly. So we see Haman, he learned a hard lesson here. Amen. His counsel and his wife and his family told him, said, well, don't worry about old Mordecai, just build a scaffold, build it a gallows for 50 feet high, praise God, and then just go to the king and bring Mordecai down there and hang him on the gallows. What a splendid plan. Amen. The old devil, boy, old devil is really a stirring on old Haman. Amen. And he said, and I could just see him in my mind's eye. He goes back, you know, he's got called to go back into the king's house. You know the story. Hester done went before him, fasted three days, didn't eat or drank nothing. Amen. And sat close and she said, I'll fast and pray. Said, me and my people, and you fast and pray, and you tell the people to fast and pray. And after 3 days, I'll go into the king. And if it's not the will of God, and if he don't extend out his scepter to me, he said, I'll just be dead. Amen. She said, I'm just going to do what's best. I'm going to do what I think's right in the eyes of the Holy God. Amen. For behalf of my people. Of course, you know the story. She goes in and he extends the scepter to her. She touches it and she asks to have a meeting with him. And then the next day she said, I want to have another and I want you to come and I want Haman to come. And boy, he was so excited. He was ecstatic about it. Praise God. I'm going to get to go to meet with the king. And the queen asked to have me there too. Amen. All full of self. Yeah, he was pounding that chest and patting that back. Because what he was going to do. Amen. Praise God. We better trust in what God's going to do. But Haman learned a hard lesson here. Look at it. Look at Esther chapter number 7. Esther chapter number 7, verse number 9. The Bible says this. It said in Harbona, one of the chamberlains said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. Amen. That's a hard lesson getting your neck stretched. Amen. Praise God. But not only did he get his neck stretched. I tell you, what we do doesn't only pertain to what we do and who we are. But a lot of times, listen to me, what we do affects all those around us. Amen? What we do, what we say, how we act and react, it affects all those around us. And sometimes it's not for the positive. Look at chapter number 9 and verse number 13. Said, then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it to be done, it so to be done, and the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. Amen. Sometimes when we get our little nitpicking things that's going on in this world, praise God, and we put it and it supersedes the mighty hand and the plan and the purpose of God, it can get us in trouble. But not only will it get us in trouble, but it'll get others in trouble. But see what Haman done? That sorry rascal, he took his finger and he poked it in God's eye. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 10, he said, as in a waste howler and wilderness, but said God brought him through as the apple of his eye. That most tender and precious part. Amen. In Psalm 17 and 8, he says this. He said, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Amen. Haman lost learned a hard lesson when he thought he could poke his finger in the eyes of God and get by with it. There's a whole lot of the folks around this world that think they can poke a finger in the eye of God and get by with it. Amen. Right, God, it won't work. Amen. You talk about upsetting somebody. You poke them in the eye on purpose. Amen. And that. You got a fight on your hands. Amen. They'll wear you out. Well, one eye or not. Hey, praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see how Haman, it was a hard lesson that he learned. Cost him his life. Cost him his son's life. Hey, praise God. God don't play. But let me just tell you, God loves Jewish people. And God even loves people that are unfaithful. You know how unfaithful Israel was. Always flip-flopping, always wishy-washy. And it's easy to look down upon them and say, boy, I don't understand why God loved them. Look how they did. Well, what about you? Why does God love you? Look what you do. Look what you've done. Look what we do. Amen. Praise God. We do a lot of things. Amen. Praise God. It breaks the heart of God, make him sad. But he still loves us, praise God. What he does, he disciplines us, but he never rejects us. Right. Amen. I think God, that's the way it is. Because of the eternal promise of God, he disciplines, praise God, but he never rejects us. In Romans chapter number 3, God would say this. See, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Amen. Verse number 4, he says, God forbid. He said, what if some don't believe? Does that change the faith of God? Amen. I'm glad it don't. Because in our faith, because we believe, because of people around us, even people in our own families didn't believe, it could cause God to forget about us. Amen. But praise God, God is faithful that he doesn't forget about us. He disciplines us, but he never rejects us. He loves us and he cares for us. He calls us back to him. Amen. And he allows us to prosper in the kingdom. Amen. So when we talk about this, we talk about the book of Esther. And we see how God is magnified, how God begins to bless the people. How he begins to raise them up. They begin to prosper. Amen. Look at Esther chapter 10. Esther chapter 10, verse number 3. He said, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. Amen. So we see that God Almighty, praise God, He blesses us and He raises us up. For such a time as this, the eternal promise of God is being fulfilled by people just like me and you. Amen. Sometimes I think we get to thinking, well, you know, somebody this and somebody that. What about us? Amen. What about us? What if Esther hadn't surrendered? What if Esther had been hard-headed and bull-headed like most of us? But she submitted herself unto the Lord, and God was able to bless them. He raised Mordecai up, praise God, to being second in charge in the kingdom for God's glory, praise the Lord. Amen. So what do you say we need to do, preacher? We need to bless and pray for the Jew. Amen. And it brings the blessings of God to me and you. Amen. But it's like a blessing and praying for the church. Praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And thinking about God and Godwardness. And let God just bless us on purpose. Amen. It's important. Talking to somebody the other day, and I said, they was talking about the Jews, and said that they was kind of putting the Jews down. And I said, well, aren't you saved? You born-again believer? I said, well, yes. Oh, yes, I'm a born-again believer. I said, well, I hate to tell you, but I like to tell you that your Savior is a Jew. Amen. So I wouldn't put him down too much because he's a Jew. He wasn't a Jew. He is a Jew. Amen. And he sends the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I appreciate that. Not only that, he's gone to prepare a place for you. Amen. He's a Jew. Praise God. He made a way for you. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Praise God. The eternal promise of God was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His holy name. Amen. He's gone to prepare a place. He's made a way. And He's coming again.
Amen.
He's coming for me and you. One day with a shout and a trump, praise God, the sky's going to part. And He's going to say, come away, my beloved, my fair one. Come away. And we're going to ease out of here. At the speed of sound, at the speed of thought. Because the Lord's going to think, I want them with me, and psh, there we'll be. Amen. He prayed to the Father in the garden. He said, I want them to be, I would that they be with me where I am. That's the prayer of our Savior. Amen. That's part of the eternal promise that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. He's made it possible. Amen. Through Himself. Praise God. And we see this and we look at this and remember Saturday night and in the Sunday. As the Jews celebrate the Purim, that they're celebrating the deliverance, praise God, of the Jew from the hand of wicked Haman. Amen. That wicked devil that wanted to destroy and tear down. That same Haman, praise God, that's still in the world today. That spirit of wickedness, that spirit of divisiveness, that spirit of fear and fear-mongering, that spirit, praise God, of wanting to do away with everything that stands for what's right. And he's taking counsel from all of our own places, but God Almighty is still in control. He's on the throne. And He's made an eternal promise unto His people that He'd never leave us nor forsake us, but He'd be with us all the way. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to be there to the end. Amen. What about me and you?